Okay, so you heard probably last week that we spoke to Gary from the Band of Brothers about what was going on. And he's encouraged me to talk to some of the guys that are doing the walk with him, or the trek, or the hike. And I'm pleased to say that this morning we've got Ian Crichton talking to us from Angus. From Angus, yeah, known as Ashted.
Yeah, that's right.
And explain. Nice to talk to you, by the way.
Yeah,
Ex
nice of you to
explain
speak to
what that's all about first.
me. Well, it probably doesn't bear repeating on a morning show, but it comes as a direct result of one of the Pete Cook and Dudley Moore's albums, Derek and Clive Live. Instead of being London, I was Ashted. So if somebody knows the LP, then they
That's
know it doesn't want repeating.
that explains it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you've known Stuart for a long time, obviously.
Yeah, I'm Stuart and I met when I think he was 13 and I was 12.
Well.
So yeah, we'd been as I say, I never had a brother. Well, I did have a brother, but he wasn't related by blood.
Fascinating. And you both moved down at the same time?
I moved down to first of all to London in 1976, and Stuart moved from Dundee up to Aberdeen. Then he went to Great Yarmouth, and then he came to Ashted, and we shared a, I guess we shared a flat for about 18 months. He slept on the lounge floor
Where was that?
in Rectory Lane.
Oh, right, okay.
It was my father-in-law, John Worsfold. He had Worsfold Builders in Ashted,
Oh, yeah.
and Worsfold or John owned the flat at 19A Rectory Lane. So
The posh in.
I was engaged to his daughter, and he offered me some accommodation there as opposed to the drafty place I'd been sleeping in, Forest Hill.
Something, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I thought so.
Get on with a
Promising.
father-in-law.
Yeah.
And then you both bought properties, met Ashton girls.
Well, I'd met Linda when I was at a party in Wimbledon, through again quite a number of the boys who you'll speak to were all of the same, the same social set, and so that's where I met Linda. And Stuart met Anne. She was a secretary at Enterprise Oil in London, which is where he was working at the time. And I think by that time he was living in. I think he was living in Sutton. He'd bought a flat. I'd one in Cheam and he'd bought one in Sutton. So,
And you were you in oil as well?
no, my background was in accountancy, and I'd moved as a to join Coopers and Lybrand in central London, and then I moved from there into the insurance industry. So I was working in the center of London in one of the insurance brokers up
Well,
until 1987.
which one?
I worked for a broker called Dewey Warren, which was taken over by Robert Holmes, a court. And I ended up a victim of a corporate, or I was corporately slaughtered by the people who took the thing over, and I ended up suing them for a corporate dismissal, for unfair dismissal. So it's all history, but it was quite a
Yeah.
nasty time.
Yeah. What sort of era was that? What years
Well,
was that?
that was I walked out of that job on I think, 1st of May 1987. So just to be vague.
No. Right. Because I was in the business as well. I was a
Right.
broker in Surrey, and there's such a lot of cutthroat stuff going on in London.
Yeah,
Well, not
yeah.
just with the brokers, but with the insurance companies, with the banks. It was frightening, wasn't it?
I guess I worked in the insurance industry just as it was trying to move from doing its business over lunch and in clubs to become a more professional outfit.
There
But
was nothing wrong with that.
you couldn't speak to an insurance broker after sort of after 12 o'clock. It
Well,
was a
you
waste
could,
of
but
time.
if you like our companies, you have to come to the wine bar.
Yeah,
Did
that's
a
right. Yeah. Yeah,
lot of
for sure.
business in those days, though. A lot of business.
It was massive, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, more importantly, how's the fitness going?
Well, I think I'm getting there. I've been out most weeks now since January. Had a few weeks off in December, and I got really quite unfit because I had a quite a nasty tendon injury in June of last year, where a foot started to hurt halfway around a walk, and I had no option but to do the other half of the walk, and I didn't walk again really without a limp for 4 months, but podiatrist sort of sorted me out and has got me back on my feet again.
Yeah.
And I'm now, as I say, every Tuesday we've got a walk. Many of the reports are up on the website, probably more to come. And it's great. There's about three or four of us who are based up here that are walking regularly on a Tuesday morning. We've got a walk tomorrow, which will be about 12 miles to the most easterly Munro, which is Mount Keen. I've done it five or six times. It's up at the end of Glen Esk, so it's about an hour's drive from the house. And then it will be, as I say, it's about an 11-hour walk. And I think at the present time, there's forecast of light snow at the top. And we've got the wind, with wind chill, it will be about -6 at the top as well.
It's dropping everywhere, isn't it, this week, apparently?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've just played golf on championship course at Carnoustie, and I was walking around in a T-shirt. So tomorrow I'll be about 4 layers and it'll still be cold.
Is that your local course?
Well, yeah, I play Carnoustie and Scots Craig, but the championship at Carnoustie is the jewel in the crown, I guess.
Biggest thing I miss. When I was 16, parents and friends went to Scotland, did the tour, all around the top leg and back down the west coast, taking in Glen Eagles. Whoa. I mean, for a 16-year-old lad playing Glen Eagles, it was incredible. We had the groundsman following us with his spade and that, filling in the divots. And I mean, it was incredible. It really was.
Yeah.
I was looking, going off the subject, I know, I was looking at, so we went up to Edinburgh at the end of April, and I was looking at the golf courses around the perimeter of Edinburgh town, or city, or whatever you want to call it. It is incredible, isn't it? They're still there.
Stuart and I did a golf tour a few years back, and we were in, just played East Lothian. We played sort of three or four: Dunbar, Kilspindie, and what was the name of the other course? But there's just so many to choose. I mean, you've got the big named courses, but they're all great courses.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to spend a fortune and go for the big names. You know, it's nice to maybe slot one in, but you don't have to.
No, but we actually, I think it was a fiver when I was playing. Fiver, and you got a pot of tea as well.
Yeah.
I think something like Brora on the west coast. Anyway, Brora. Beautiful country. But walking up those hills is another matter. And have you done it before? Because I know one or two of the guys have, haven't they?
Gary's a big walker. Walks everywhere. Can't keep up with him. But I've done quite a few multi-day things. I walked up the top of Mount Toubkal with a group of 19 people in about 2014, and that's at 4,000 meters. Then the next year we did the Three Peaks. There was four of us did the Three Peaks, but we did them over 3 days, not 24 hours.
Yeah.
Then I did the West Highland Way. Then I did the East Highland Way. And 2019, I did Annapurna Base Camp, which was like an 11-day trek in the Himalaya. Yeah. If this trek goes okay this time, then my next stop is November. I'm doing a 28 or 21-day trek to Everest Base Camp.
Walking is a massive thing, isn't it? But it seems like most of you guys. I mean, is this coming from Scotland? I mean, what's the hit on it?
I don't know. I mean, I'd done it. I think we probably, most of us growing up, if you were in the Scouts or the Boys Brigade, or even with the school, were taken out sort of doing some hill walking. But to be honest, I didn't hill walk from aged, I think I did one walk probably from the age of 17 until I took it up again back in 2014 at age 60. And it was, I just loved it again. I thought, why haven't I done this before? You know, why have I left this 50-year gap in my life? But I just get so much tranquility from it. The beauty up there is just outstanding. And it's been a good thing to retire with.
I was going to ask you what you find so good about it, but the views and everything else says it all, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just it's a very peaceful. There's no distractions. You're just in the moment. You're walking, and once you get used to it, you know that you don't think. You know, the worst thing you can think is how far have I got to go, either going or coming back. You just got to enjoy the moment, and you know, there's always discomfort. When you get to 68, certainly there's always discomfort somewhere. So it's either paracetamol or multi-day walks. The best paracetamol is if you can find a freezing cold mountain stream, take your boots, your socks off, and just make your feet go completely to sleep, numb with the cold. Then put your socks and boots back on. It's like having fresh feet for about an hour.
Fantastic. Are you speaking to the other guys, or are you sort of in contact regularly, or are you just getting on with your own training?
No, we've had at various times. Derek came up and he did a little walk just in some of the low hills around here. Neil's been up and done the same.
Delboy from Harpenden.
Yeah, Delboy. Yeah. So Del's he's come up and done that. Neil was up and did a couple of walks. We did Dunsinane and King's Seat with Neil on one time, and then we did the Sidlaws again, another walk. The last time he's coming up again at the end. Neil's coming up again at the end of April, and he's going to do the Gary's organised the trip to Torridon over on the west coast, and we're going to do 3 days of walking over in Torridon, and that's I'm hoping will get me into where I need to be to do the West Highland Way.
And then I guess you just carb for the next couple of weeks, then.
The 2 weeks beforehand, I just won't do anything. I'll maybe do the gym and a bit of swimming, but won't be out on the hills at all. Just try and eat some carbs.
And from talking to Gary, it sounds like everything's pretty well organised as well. So yeah. I'm glad to hear you're not camping out at night.
No.
At our age, I think it's the last thing you want to do, isn't it?
No. The last time I camped was, I think, at about 3,200 metres, which was when we did... I did Mount Toubkal in the Atlas Mountains. Ooh. And there was a snowstorm, and we were sharing a tent, and we spent the night just holding the tent down until we got up at 4 in the morning to start walking to the top in a snowstorm. Yeah. It was horrendous.
That's no fun at all, is it? No. And I suppose it's something to look forward to each day, isn't it? When you've got a decent meal and a few beers, that's always a good pull on.
Yeah, well, we did it in... The last time I did the West Highland Way, I did it in 7 days, but it left too much drinking time. So I instead of losing weight, I think I put weight on, came back with the most horrendous hangover. So we'll do it in 6 days, but there's one particularly tough day where I think we've got 23 miles to do with a big hill at the end of it. And
I think is that your last but one day or something like that?
Yeah, that's day five where we walk across Rannoch Moor, and then just for some fun, we walk up Devil's Staircase over and back down into Kinlochleven.
Certainly be thinking of you on that day.
Yeah.
And of course, the reason you're doing it is Stuart and prostate cancer.
That's right.
Which is a massive thing. I was staggered. I was saying some statistics this morning. Is it one man dies every 45 minutes in the UK?
Yeah.
Prostate cancer.
And it's one of, I mean, I think there's more and more people aware of it now. But I guess it needs to have more focus. It needs to, a reliable, regular testing regime needs to be set up. And the current test for, you know, for raised PSA can lead to lots of unnecessary treatment. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a test done, but it's not without its faults, that particular test. And you know, if you're in doubt, go and speak to your doctor, I got, my brother-in-law was the first person. He got prostate cancer, and he got, but by the time he was diagnosed, he was stage four. Well, that was about 3.5 years ago, and he's still in the best of health. He's never been fitter because he's sorted himself out. He doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He's got a good exercise regime. He's got the drugs that control it. And it was him that, he went to the doctor with a sore back, and this all started. And that's how Stuart started. Stuart sort of said, started asking about Ranald and his sore back, and said, I've got a sore back as well. But Stuart's sore back would appear to have been completely unrelated to prostate cancer, but it was that that led him to start the process of getting tested. And Stuart's just so unlucky with what happened to him. You know, it wasn't helped by the fact that we had lockdown and COVID and all the rest of it. But just, you know, we thought it was all going pretty well. And then they discovered he'd got, I think it was a blastoma. So he'd got two different types of prostate cancer. And the second type, it wouldn't have showed up on his PSA. His PSA was never very high. He was just so, so unlucky. And, you know, it was, we're all still devastated by it, really.
Imagine it's not been that long ago, has it, really?
No, it was only September when he died, but
I mean, the sad thing is, and statistics don't lie, do they, that 1 in 8 of us will get it.
Yes.
Men right. over 50, I think it is.
That's right. Yes, yeah. So, I think, yeah, we had one other of Stuart's friends, Andy, who also lives in Canada, and Andy Purvis, he came over for the Christmas curry this year. In fact, he came over for Stuart's funeral from Canada, and he was going through prostate cancer treatment, but fortunately he's been successfully treated, and he's got the, you know, he's on in remission, never cured, but in remission, and well, not prostate cancer, but one of the walkers. He wasn't going to do the whole route, but John Osborne, Aussie, he's again, through COVID, he had a sore in his mouth. He saw his doctor before lockdown. He's now going through, he's had surgery. He's just started radiotherapy for oral cancer. And he's not going to, so he's unable to walk with us now. And John's one of our younger, you know, he was the youngest member.
Remember, he's in his 50s, isn't he?
Yeah. So I just spoke to John before this just now, because I'm trying to do some bits and pieces with him. And we're looking forward to walking together, perhaps later in the year. But, you know, our thoughts go with John, because he's just got some absolutely horrendous treatment. He's had his first session of radiotherapy was today. He's had the surgery, and he's had a stomach feeding tube put in, because after he's had a couple of these radiotherapies, he won't be able to swallow for a while.
I had a friend who had his horrendous.
It is horrendous, but it just somehow, you know, having it in your mouth, it just seems somewhat worse.
He has to have a mouth restructured, a palate and everything, that couldn't talk.
Just
horrible. It's all horrible.
It is.
And that's why you're doing this.
That's why we're doing it, yeah.
The 1,000-year hike, I'm told.
The 1,000-year hike, because that was, I always thought we were 1,000 years, because in my head, Stuart's walking with us. You know, I don't know if you've seen our emblem, but the Phantom Walker is Stuart for me. For others, it may be other people that they think of or that they've lost. And, you know, if anybody listening, you know, you can always walk with the Phantom Walker. So that, anyway, that's our aggregate ages take us to over 1,000, which is kind of weird because we all think we're 17.
Sounds like you'll behave like it as well when you get together.
I think so.
This could be the fun of it.
I have to say that the last few years, I think the last three times we've been out for our Christmas curry, because we usually meet as a group around Christmas, the food bill's exceeded the drink bill. So that's a sign of aging, isn't it?
Well, it is, because I was telling you know about the 80s in insurance. Me and my business partner still meet up occasionally. He's just about recovering from cancer himself, and we said, we went out last time we went out for lunch, I think we had one beer each.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
I know.
You're right, that's life. Never thought it would happen, but it does. Right, thanks, Ian. Oh, I should have called you Ashtid.
Ashtid, yeah. Yeah. Ashtid. It's only when we get together, I think the only person who we regularly call by their nickname are two of them. There's Alan Jack, who's always known as Check Shirt. Yeah. And there is Neil, who's, I always call him Elton.
It's Elton, is it?
Yeah.
I got him in an Elt.
Well, yeah. he's put on his bio that he's Elt, but Elt. I call him Elton. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to tell me the reason for that in case I get a chance to interview him.
Well, I think he's on your list. Maybe he might be next.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Yeah. He's, well, when he was younger, he had blonde hair and he wore glasses, and his glasses looked a little bit like Elton John's. All other similarities end there, but. When I first met him, he was known as Elton, and it's always been that, you know.
Brilliant. All right, thanks, Ian. Hope it all goes well with the training. I'm sure you will do. It's pretty close now, isn't it? You're getting there.
Yeah, the distance, the hill training, and as I say, if I successfully do that, then the wife's going to let me go to Everest. If I can't do that, then she doesn't. I'm not getting to go.
Is she coming with you on the trips, or...?
No, she likes walking, but she prefers, we live about 2.5 miles from Broughty Ferry, and we quite enjoy walking of a Friday afternoon from here to Broughty Ferry, having a pint and then getting the bus home.
And then get a cab, a bus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's lovely, isn't it?
We've got buses in Scotland, unlike Surrey.
Wow, but I can't use my bus pass there, I'm told.
No, you've got to have your own special Scottish bus pass.
I don't know.
Shocking.
Yeah, well, say good luck. What I'm going to try and do is make contact while you're on the walk and try and catch you in the mornings before you go out or somebody. Gary seemed quite keen on that. So we'll see how it works. But thanks ever so much for talking to us.
No, it's been my pleasure. Really good, thanks for giving us some airtime, as
no problem. You take care.